Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What form is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Not a bad weekend for Irish sportswomen, I think it's fair to say. From Leona Maguire's Solheim Cup heroics to Katie Taylor's dominant defence of her undisputed lightweight championship to the centrepiece of the sporting weekend, as much as it pains me to say it, the Meath footballers beating the Dubs. We said they wouldn't fear the Dubs, and in this case at least, they very much did not fear the Dubs. And in their first year back at senior level, Meath are the All-Ireland champions. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
It's going fine. I got to say, I enjoyed watching that Meath performance yesterday. I mean, there's no point.
They don't want to be patronised by you, Owen. They want your pain.
Dublin, just no answer to the speed, the power, the likes of Vicky Wall, who tore through them time and time again. Well, there was one answer to her, actually. Dublin tried a few times to haul her to the ground, which sort of worked. I mean, in that it stopped that particular movement at times, but other times she just burst through it, and even, you know, or else she won a free. They had a corner back popping up with a couple of points the first half. They had a wonder goal by Emma Duggan.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't need to tell you what it reminded me of, and of course, Barney Rock in the 83 final, the Dirty Dozen, all that, catch a bad kick out from my own club man, Paul Coyne, of course, in the 1983 incident. But it was an absolutely brilliant goal.
I thought you were going to say the old Mikey Sheehy Murphy. See, it's amazing what's burned into the consciousness of GAA people from different counties.
You remember the one that was scored against Dublin, but not the one that Dublin scored themselves.
Yeah. You know where I'm going to turn here for today's show, don't you? It's got to be Brendan Cummins on LMFM.
Sorry, what radio station does he work
for? That's LMFM. I may have forgotten. Yes. See, look, it seems like Meath are going to win so many titles at every level for the next while that it could be a weekly thing. So I'm sure I won't forget to mention LMFM again, like I did last week. Talk about capturing the emotion of the moment at full time yesterday. Brendan was on song.
And now we've got 20 seconds remaining in the game. This is amazing. The ball played to Sean Ennis. Meath are on the brink. It comes as far as Sean Ennis again, the Meath captain. She'll be receiving the Brendan Martin Cup. It comes to Emma Troy, to Emma Dillon. It's there. The Hooter is going. Meath are all Ireland champions. This is the most amazing story I remember in sport. Meath win the intermediate last December, and now they're the all Ireland senior champions. This is amazing stuff. They're going to receive the cup. Sean Ennis will captain them. They're going absolutely bananas out on the field. Meath supporters are going wild. They've won it by 2 points. 10-1 outsiders in a game. There were outsiders against Cork. There were outsiders against Armagh. But they are the champions.
that's good. That is good stuff. On. The most amazing
Owen, it's just brilliant to have them back. Yeah. You know, and you know, we put this with the minor win. I mean, it's an unbelievable couple of weeks for Meath GAA. And let's face it, there haven't been many of them over the last number of years. But, you know, it is great to have them back. It's not just because their accent is amazing, although it is a bit of that.
Tough boys to lad them, so they are.
I mean, you mentioned their cornerback and point-scoring machine, Emma Troy. But, I mean, Emma Troy is from a club called Bald's Mill. I mean, it's just so much fun to say. Like,
say it again, there, Murph.
Bord's Mill.
I don't even know how that's spelled, and I don't
Bord's,
want to
know. It's Bord's Mill.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But if you're talking mead, it's Bord's Mill. Which, I mean, I could just keep saying it all day, and it would just get funnier and funnier in my own head. Mm. And
just,
I mean,
before we go over the top here, though, Murph. Come on. Sorry, I cut you off there.
No, please. Please don't. I've got a lot of things to say about mead.
There is something. Are we all okay with the means by which Meath played out those closing moments? Wasn't it Brendan Cummins himself who expressed concern about the use of the possession game in the past?
Dublin are holding on to it in an obnoxious fashion.
Oh, so it's only when Dublin hand-pats it around that it's obnoxious, is it? Is that what we're talking about here? A lot of World Service members tweeted me in with that comparison.
Listen, Owen, it's a totally different thing. There's a shot clock. You know, they're just playing down the shot clock. I mean, it hits differently in the women's game when there's... there's a countdown. You know,
so a game clock, yeah.
A game clock,
A hooter's going to sound and it's going to end. I know, but there was a moment with 2 minutes to go where they were hand-passing it back around their own line, and I was thinking, they did watch Dublin Mayo there, the Dublin men's Mayo match, but they got rid of it, eventually got it back, and then just sauntered around hand-passing it to themselves, and yeah, more power to them.
There was a lot of things that were just typical Meath about this as well, you know? Meathness. That's what we should talk about here, Owen. Because we spent a bit of this summer talking about Corkness. You know, there was someone in the Cork County Board started talking about Corkness and how they had to, you know, they had to tune back into their own innate Corkness so that you could get success on the field. But what about Meathness?
What is Meathness? How do you define that?
Well, a couple of things that just strike me from yesterday. I mean, everyone wrote us off. And now, to be fair to every Meath player and manager who said this, everyone really, really did write Meath off before this one.
Well, it was their first year back in senior. I mean, let alone, like, by the time they got to the final, maybe there might have been an inkling. Hang on, they're actually pretty good. But if you're talking to anybody last Christmas time, I'm sure you wouldn't have got anyone predicting Meath were going to win the senior All-Ireland.
Yeah, it's such a brilliant achievement to win intermediate. I mean, they won the intermediate 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And so there are a couple of things about that. They had lost the two intermediate finals previous to that, so in 2018 and 2019. And you actually see this a bit at club level, that, you know, like a seasoned intermediate team that, like, is at the, you know, is losing intermediate, like, promotion finals, and then they go ahead and finally win it, and all of a sudden they realise they're in senior, they're a very seasoned team, they're used to winning, like, the vast majority of their games, they can play with a bit more freedom because they're promoted, and then all of a sudden, you know, they can just go on a run, you know, and it's almost like, you know, they just take off, and before they know it, they're in an All-Ireland final, they've got nothing to lose, and they go ahead and win the four in a row, beat the four in a row champions. But, like, that is meadness. That is pure
siege mentality, is that it? Is that what you're pointing
out? Yeah, and it's just a bit of boldness about them on, you know? Like, they beat Armagh in the quarterfinal, that was a shock. Like, two goals in the last minute against Cork in the semi-final, in the last minute on, pure mead. Unbelievable.
Jammy late scores. Yeah, jammy late scores. That's pure Meath.
Inside forwards with a ton of attitude, Emma Duggan. for Ollie Murphy, turn of the century, read Emma Duggan. Vicky, just brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Email in here from Vinnie Griffin. Tough girls, a lot of them.
Yes.
Tough babes, a lot of them.
Absolutely know that about it.
I haven't done the email yet, Murph.
Defensive solidity as well. But
have you got more there?
No. That's enough. That's enough for now. We'll go with the email. See if we can add any more elements of meadness to all this.
How are you, lads? I was wondering, would Sean Boylan ever see it happen again? Little did I know that Vicky, Emma, Shauna et al. Would come around and electrify the sport. Having three nephews find their first taste of success from the ladies' team makes it more special in ways. It wasn't that way when we were growing up. Today was a special day. Says Vinny. Spare thought for the Dubs, Vinny. I mean, my friend of mine who was there with his daughter, who plays GAA and he coaches her, and she's there with her teammates, 10, 11 years of age, and the poor girls had never seen Dublin lose. So devastation, I think, only scratches the surface of what they were going through for, you know, certainly a short time after the game.
And I mean, if they follow the men's team, then, you know, there's a lot of firsts happening in the lives of these, like, 11 and 12-year-old.
It will be good for them in the long term. I mean, it can't be good for anyone's development to just constantly watch your team win every single year. But try telling that to a bunch of 10 or 11-year-olds after the full-time whistle yesterday.
And, you know, it's stepping away from kind of the Meath and Dublin angle. I mean, it just looked like such an amazingly brilliant occasion. Like, the crowd was huge, given, like, all of the COVID restrictions and all the rest. Unbelievable noise for the whole game. But it was just, it was something else. It really was, absolutely.
So you've got siege mentality, you've got Jamie Lake goals, you've got attitude of inside forwards. That's most of
it. But also, well, I mean, you, the man himself mentioned Sean Boylan there. I mean, there he was. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house when he appeared on the TG Carr coverage after the game, looking just honestly so unbelievably delighted and proud. And you're just, if you're a Meads man or woman today, Owen, I mean, that sort of thing is just catnip for you, isn't it? Like, it's just, oh, hook it to my veins, as the old internet meme would say.
Congratulations to Pierce, most importantly. Congratulations to Pierce Brosnan.
I grew up on the banks of the River Boyne, County Meath.
I have no idea what's going on.
Attention turns to the men's final next weekend, Mayo against Tyrone. We've got Oisin and Paul Flynn on tomorrow. I believe Paul's already been in touch, though, demanding to talk about what happened yesterday, Murph. I feel like the Dublin GA pundits are... they see the beast is awakening in Meath and they're trying to be as polite as possible so as not to further antagonise said beast. So he wants to pay his respects, yes, which is always good to hear. Leona Maguire. I mean, Katie Taylor, I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, Katie, amazing, unanimous decision, won every round. The kind of stuff we expect when she is a level or two above the opponent she's facing. Not to diminish that, it's just the excellence we've come to expect. That we've been so used to Katie Taylor doing this for so long. Leona Maguire, Solheim Cup, first Irish golfer ever to play in this tournament. And I think she's contributed, Murph, whatever happens in her singles match today.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable. She's the only player to have played all four sessions so far. Obviously, everyone plays in the singles as well. So she's the only player that will play all five sessions in this edition of the Solheim Cup. She's won 3.5 points out of four. She's been ice cool all weekend. She's been a full-on revelation, like the breakout star of the tournament so far. Like, beat Nelly Cordy yesterday afternoon, the world number one. Massive fist pump on the, like, hammered them like 5-4. Massive fist pump at the end, which was being sent around the world on, like, by the LPGA Tour and the Solheim Cup, both teams' Twitter accounts and everything. Like, huge, massive, big fist pump. Let's go! And and she's playing, like, often we see in the Ryder Cup as well that, you know, these rookies that fly out of the traps and on the first day. You know, maybe they start to struggle in the morning session of the second day, and they're given a rest on the fourth day. As it turns out, her halved match last night really felt like a massive win for Europe because, the Americans had chipped in on the 17th to go one up, and it was actually her playing partner Mel Reid who got the birdie that earned the half point. But it was one of those where it could be a huge momentum shift in the entire tournament. If the Americans were to close the gap down to one, it would have been 8.5 plays, 7.5 if they'd won that game. So the half point felt absolutely huge for Europe. So even her half point felt like a victory. So she's up against Jennifer Kupcho. The tee times are, I think it's 4 o'clock it starts, or 4:30 on Sky Sports Golf today. She's out third. And even that was kind of interesting, you know, because I was watching after the round yesterday, but before the singles ties had been announced,
the analysis of who should go where,
and it was
that always is interesting. I always love. I mean, there's way too much thought goes into all this. I think we've talked about it in the Ryder Cup as well.
Yeah.
If the team wins, it's the genius of the captain for putting some amazing player lower down the order than expected and stuff like that. It's a little bit over the top, but also quite funny when you're watching it live. So I'm sure it's the same with the Solheim Cup. And third strikes me as important, Murph. Any sport where you choose where somebody goes, if they're going third out of, what is it, 12 golfers, you know, a cricketer, you know, you're not going to put a bad batsman out third, for example.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're actually talking about putting her 12th as like the backstop, you know, so if everything goes wrong and it comes down to the last game, you want to have someone pretty decent playing 12th. But I mean, it's a huge vote of confidence for her. You stick her in third, get some blue on the board. I haven't had a chance to say that in a while. Get some blue on the board early. But I mean, it's just so brilliant. I mean, it's nearly been an indictment of, I think, Irish golf that there hasn't been, you know, a female, like a player on the Solheim Cup. It's kind of crazy to me, you know, given how many golf courses there are in Ireland. And maybe that's a discussion for another day. But Leona is, talk about making a mark. She's just been unbelievable. And like, that's going to be such brilliant viewing tonight. Like, I can't wait to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, nice time of day to watch a bit of sport as well. Quick bit of news for you.
Oh.
I'd say you might know by now what that music means. Some more deserved recognition for the Where is George Gibney podcast, nominated this time for a pre-Europa prize, which is really prestigious, one of the biggest awards in European broadcasting. And the ceremony, I can't help but note, Murph, is on in one of Europe's greatest cities, Berlin.
Berlin in October.
It's been a while. I have been to Berlin, but not for an awful long time. And, you know, I would guess there's a little second captain's Berlin crew who might be interested in us going over and doing our first live show post-pandemic in that fine city. Get in touch.
Owen, this sounds like a pretty good idea to me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are our next steps here? I suppose if the interested parties were, you know, felt obliged to get in touch with us, tell us how much they'd love that to happen, then maybe we could, you know, go away for a day or two, maybe a week.
Well, it's got to be a week, because I'm thinking it's got to be Berlin Synth Week if it was to happen. So, yeah, we'll see.
Synth Week in Berlin for the pre-Europa. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, that sounds like some good stuff.
We don't have enough trouble.
Well, it's
been
run up the flagpole, Murph, so let's leave it sitting up there atop the flagpole. And
I mean, the ball is now in, you know, everyone else's court. Let's see where they go with it, Owen.
We've talked a lot about Irish sportswomen today. I wanted to mention one non-Irish sportswoman, Naomi Osaka, who was beaten in the third round of the US Open. She had another tough time at the press conference afterwards, said she's trying to figure out what to do. I honestly don't know when I'm going to play my next tennis match, she said. Before all that, we had another amazing chat with Caitlin Thompson of Racquet Magazine. So this is just before, as it happens, Naomi Osaka was knocked out and did that press conference. Caitlin has worked really closely with Osaka very recently when Osaka guest edited the magazine, which was a hell of a coup for Caitlin and everyone working at Racquet Mag. But it was also a lovely insight that Caitlin was able to give us about one of the world's most interesting sports people, what it was like to work with Naomi Osaka, especially in light of the subsequent defeat and the press conference.
You know, I think I misunderstood her to be not shy necessarily, but I don't want to say hesitant to engage, but I mistook her silence for naivete. And now that I've spent a little bit more time understanding who she is and seeing her speak and having her react to ideas that we throw at her, a lot of which are kind of weird and wild, and a lot of ideas she's thrown at us, which are similar. I really understand that her when she has a silent moment, it's the silence of a stoic. And there's a lot going on underneath the surface, and she actually has incredibly strong opinions. And I always was impressed by her answers because she seemed to really digest and think and then come out with something very fully formed, which is frankly why I think she finds press conferences a little bit more difficult than other people. I think the press is actually very kind and light on her, but I also think she tends to internalize the question because she's very thoughtful. She's not able to brush it off the way that certain people are. And I think that's why a lot of this happened in the first place, because she's somebody who processes very deeply. I think if she were more blithe or maybe hostile towards the press, they wouldn't like her as much, but she would probably feel a little less vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
But she is vulnerable. She's vulnerable and also extremely strong, which is a really, really cool combination.
That was Caitlin Thompson, amazing as ever, on the show on Friday. That is available now to members, many of whom have already heard it. It's also available to non-members, but only if you become members. Take the non out of non-members by signing up to the World Service today. I feel like I'm in a marketing meeting where I'm just sticking up a post-it there just on the wall. There it is, if you can hear.
That is impressive.
Take the non out of non-members. Sign up now on secondcaptains.com for €5 a month plus VAT, depending where in the world you're living. It only takes a minute or two to sign up. That chat is available to you. Everything's available to you. Oisin and Flynn tomorrow. Oisin and Paul Flynn. Ireland-Serbia. We'll talk a little bit ahead of the game tomorrow and also afterwards on Wednesday. And may I just note the absence on this particular podcast right here of your sparring partner from earlier on today, Murph, in the football pod, for those who've heard it. I mean, people might have thought, if they'd never heard you two before, these two straight up don't like each other. I don't know. There's only one of you big enough to front up on this particular pod.
Well,
that's all I know.
I think actions speak louder than words, and my actions here today, Owen, I wouldn't choose a different syllable.
Could be just that he didn't want to talk about Dublin getting beaten by Meath. There's probably a little bit of that in there.
Also the sort of pettiness we've come to expect from our Tempelhug compadre.
That football podcast, including Richie and Damien Delaney, is available now. And that one is free to everybody, even if you are non-members. Thanks, Murph.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks for listening. Take care.
Hurt them.
Bods Mill.
Kill them.
Bods Mill.
Injure them.
Bods Mill.
Do anything you got to do.
Pure Mead. Unbelievable.
is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.